welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, sir?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, this is on. We're doing it. Okay. It's happening.
Good, good, good.
It's happening right now. We're going to kick things off with a little bit of email.
Great.
You've got mail.
What's the...
Really fucking loud, and I apologize. Good God, was that loud.
I jerked in my seat.
Yeah, let's try that again.
You've got mail.
A little bit better.
A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
All right. We remember a while ago when I was talking about, I can't remember if it was the first time I had sex in a while with my wife. I think it was, because I remember saying something at a certain point during that horizontal lumbata magical dance of love.
Yeah.
That I said, easy. Like I paced, yes, like, wait, yes, sit still kind of thing. And I was curious because I put out to the listeners to say, I would assume that as a lady, having a guy say, whoa, 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 easy, mm-hmm, would be flattering as opposed to it being a thing where it's like, hey, listen, buck it up because I need John Holmes. I don't know. Is that a... I hope that's a porn guy's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, why would I... Of all names, why would I pick the one that sounds like somebody you would find in a phone book? Lexington Steel would be a better one. Anyway, I'm very good at this. So Casey was kind enough to send us a lady's perspective, and this is what she said. Just listen to Did Justin Get Some? I think that, is that what I titled that?
That's what you call
I'm
it.
I'm funny. So your question about what you think about Alex after baby and lasting long enough, I'm assuming Alex is her husband, says, honestly, as a new mom and woman, my thoughts are, let's hurry up.
Oh, yeah.
Please, let's get this over with. Easy with the romantic talk. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hey, are you done yet? Are you done yet? How about now? Are you done yet? Still going, huh? Can you wrap this up? I got some backlogs of Castle I want to get caught up on. I wonder why so many marriages end in divorce when after you bring kids into the equation. It's like, right, let's just get this over with, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, see, everybody. We got a heart out, and by that I mean it's going to be soft soon, hopefully.
See, that was Luna's attitude from the beginning of our relationship. So I didn't notice the change.
Are we there? Are we done? Are we done? I wonder.
Are you in?
I want to talk to. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I am too. Tell me if I'm correct on this word. Altruistic. I feel like that means idealistic in nature.
It is a word, altruistic.
I don't say it's a word. Okay, when I ask for your help,
but I don't
ask for it to be peppered with condescension, right?
Well, what I mean
when
is...
When you ask for me, when you ask for help from me on anything, do I condescend to you? Do I talk down to you as if you are a Nimrodosaurus?
I'm not sure you don't ever talk down to me.
That is not true.
No, here's why I said it that way is...
I resist. No, I'm kidding.
You hadn't given enough of a context for me to know whether or not that was the correct word.
I'm sorry.
So you see what I'm saying. It is a word.
Altruistic in that I think that my wife enjoys the sexy turn. I don't think that she is like a... Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
there have been times. That was when we were much younger, though, and our reps, if you would, were much higher.
Yes,
and
it basically means unselfish. Altruistic means unselfish.
Did you just Google it?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I had the right the right definition.
That makes me so happy. All right, so let's see. No, I would define myself as an altruistic lover, though. So it still kind of ties in,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I guess
sure.
Here's what I'm saying. Maybe naive is the word I'm trying to look for. Is that because I think she enjoys it, but I know that there have been times where, or at least a time, I should say, not times. Yeah. There's been a time that I'm well aware that she was like, "All right, let's wrap this up." Sometimes I feel like it's hard to figure it out. It's new when you have children, and you're making the sexy time with your lovely, lovely lady love that you. You don't know. You ever see her put a little extra effort? You know what I mean? Like you're like, whoa, what is this move? You know, and then you're like, wait, is this because you're trying to, $20 make me holler me? Like, you know, right, it's more of a numbers game for you at this point. Or is it that you're like, I'm really into this, and now I'm going to get crazy right now? Right. I don't know. I feel like, and the problem is, all of our sexy, sexy, happy, happy, tum-tum time happens in the nighttime when right afterwards is followed by sleepy, sleep, z time. I'm not sure why I'm doing this guy, but I like it. And so it's not, there's not a lot. And I feel like it makes me, I'm 37 years old, just had a birthday.
Yeah.
You can't be like a kid who, you don't have a post-mortem sexual experience. You know what I mean? You don't. I would love for my wife to break out a PowerPoint and just pull out a
post-coitus.
Well, post-mortem of your post-coitus, yeah. Okay, I would like to have any kind of a post.
Post-mortem would be dead. You don't generally have a...
No, a post-mortem is also a term that they use in the corporate world. I have a job.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you're aware.
I see what you're saying.
But a
post-mortem
is after the fact, after the the event, if you would.
Okay.
There's a gathering of minds, and you talk about how did it go.
Right.
What were the...
But that usually doesn't happen when you're this far into a marriage.
Not post-coitus.
No.
No. Or at any point, I don't think. I mean, I've had the, like... Because here's the thing.
Well, was it good for you is the famous...
Yes.
But that would be starting the post-coitus mortem.
I ask a lot of questions wanting an honest response, right? So if I say, was it good for you, there's a part of me that goes, what is she going to say? Right? Is she going to say, actually, I've had better. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when you're married to the woman. That's
yes,
never
right.
what you want to hear.
Right.
I've had better. Or you've never. And then it's like, how do you go to sleep at night with we've had better? You know, even if she makes it about you, it's like, you know. Because here's what I get, though.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like positive reinforcement. Because I think it leads to bullshit.
Okay.
I've had the, that was top five. I've had that, you know what I mean?
Where, spontaneously?
Yeah.
She volunteered?
She volunteered that. She was like, wow, that was top five. And then it's...
Wow.
But here's what's wrong with me, is that then I go, well, what was edged out? And does your top five match up with my top five? I want us to be...
And also, when she never says it again,
uh-huh.
then you know you're always at least in sixth
right.
place.
See, I like the honesty. I like it. I like it if it's negative.
Well, she was too specific. She just should have said that was a...
Yeah, she's never thrown out a top seven.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's always like one time, interesting, maybe a couple times. So this is, she's already flushed those out.
Right.
Top three. I've heard that a couple times.
Oh, wow.
That was, wow. She's like, wow.
I think this is a little topical, but I think maybe like the Oscars, she should expand the category to allow
more black
for
people?
10.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't like that plan at all. I want the Oscars to stay the way they are.
Okay.
But not all 10 slots have to be filled. I see what
right.
you're saying.
At least one of them probably should if you want to get on the board.
If you're doing it right.
Okay.
As they say. But to get back to Casey's message here, she says, I really want to get back to sleep or take a shower or eat something. I personally sit. Now, I think what she meant, what she wants to do is sit. But I like that. I like the way that that ends is that she just sits there waiting for him to finish is what happens in my mind. I want my hubby to last a long time.
Tapping
I've actually
foot.
Had the thought, how much longer is this going to take? Are we almost done?
Yeah. Are we there yet? That's funny.
Now, here's what I love. This is why I love the honesty, is that we're all kind of laughing and having a good time. But the reality is that other than the dudes, these are thoughts that a man has never had in his entire life.
Right.
So what I am seeing now, hearing this from a woman's perspective, is that sex for wives, especially after they have children, is the same as going shopping with your wife. Or, you know what I mean? That
right.
It's like, how much longer is this going to take? Yeah. Like, or going to IKEA, I guess, is a
right.
great example.
Not just
too.
Shopping, but how long you're holding the purse while you're waiting for
yes.
something else to happen.
Yeah, or I've never had to stereotypically hold a purse. I'm not against that. But just, you know, there's here's, and this is what we've talked about this on the show, where I have decided to take a more active approach in the shopping, where I give her clothes.
Yeah.
It makes it more interesting. But sometimes it seems some women, I've noticed,
yeah.
they like to just that's their leisure. So they like to wander around and look at things that they never are going to put on. You know, there's something about the motion of, I can't describe it for an audio medium, I guess I'll try, is that the motion of, you have a rack of clothes in front of you.
Yeah.
And there's something about the elongated left or right arm stretching out, you know, spreading the clothes like Moses did the Red Sea, like making, you know, and trying to get a full scope, a full picture of the shirt. There's something about that that has to have some kind of animalistic, visceral, subconscious
thing.
You
know what I think that is?
Yeah.
I mean, many, 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 many thousands of years ago, the men went out and hunted. Uh-huh. And the women stayed in nest, but they did a little bit of berry gathering, I'm sure.
The women did or the men?
The women.
Okay.
They'd gather the berries, they'd look through the bush, and they'd see what's in there. Hey, here's a good one, or I don't want that one, you know, whatever it is. I think it's an extension of
that. So it's an they're gathering berries.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think even in caveman times, the men then also had to watch them gather berries? And that is when they would exchange grunts about their feelings?
Yes, I think
so. And the
so.
State
they'd
of their
sit
relationship.
On the rock next to the...
And that... The male caveman is desperately trying to figure out, is this a good time where I figure out if, you know, because I'm pretty sure I invented missionary and I want to see if she's ever done that before.
Right.
You know, and he's having those thoughts and like, was good for you, was it?
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
And if she's too good at the thing he thought he invented, he's thinking, where did she learn to do that?
Where did she pick that up?
Yeah, right. caveman for don't move? It's too soon.
Right. That's also for finish, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because the idea of a guy thinking, is this almost over while in the middle of act, like, it's so funny how polar opposite the thoughts are. It's like, please don't let this be over. Like, we're okay with it finishing, right? I think we all could agree. We're okay with the completion.
Yes.
But we would like to enjoy it for as long. I don't know many guys that are into the two-pump chump. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't hate premature because we don't get to enjoy it as much. It's more about a prowess thing.
Right.
It's more about can I put in the work to take care of my lady friend?
And you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, you want two pump chumps.
Yeah.
Because you want it to be on and done and move on. You don't want to be exposed to the predators that could be lurking
around.
You're
very vulnerable.
Or the neighbor who could be lurking around.
Wait, what? Why was that an analogy? How does that tie into caveman?
I don't know.
That just came out of nowhere. That was kind of weird.
It really did.
How that came out. I don't know, but it's gonna be stuck in my head for a long time. The idea of my wife going, when's this gonna be over? How much longer can this take?
You should ask her.
No.
Wait. Maybe you shouldn't.
Careful what you ask for. That's the other part of that. What I think is so fun, not only about talking about sex on the show, but just in general.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed. I like to talk about sex because it is so incredibly complex and interesting, and yet something that people are so uncomfortable talking about.
Yeah.
Then there's also the opposite of that, is that the people who are too comfortable talking about it, which I might fit into that category world.
Yeah.
But imagine, there is a person out there that is too comfortable talking about sex for me that makes me go, okay, ease up. Now, what it takes for that person is usually that is a chick with some kind of unshaven armpit. That's usually an unkempt hair and a sundress.
Mm-hmm.
That is the kind of person that starts talking about sex
at
a level of lack of boundaries of which I am uncomfortable.
Right.
She goes on to say, where was I? It's not that I don't love sex, and my husband and my husband. It's interesting that those are two different things.
Yes.
Now, I'm way overanalyzing, Casey, your message, so I apologize.
She'll never write again.
I hope. No, that's not my point. My point isn't to make you go, but I think it is a curious thing that I wonder if, you know, I love sex and my husband. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just as the mom, I'm in such high demand. Now, this is something I am very aware of and very worried about as a husband and a father.
Yeah.
And I make jokes about it a lot now, but they're probably the closest I come, if not the only situation of passive aggression that I have in my life.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm pretty blatant. Like, I come at things.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty passive aggressive about the attention that I get from my wife since we've had especially two children. Like, for instance, we have weekends off now. Both of us have weekends.
Yeah.
And she spends the weekends playing with the children's.
Yes.
So the boys come and they say, Mom, will you play with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I find it also amusing that they never really ask me to play with them. I think it's because usually I'm always doing something or I'm about to do something. Like, that's about it. I'll hang out, play video games, or I'll throw the football around. I'm not, like, completely void of contact with them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, it's okay for you to do shit on your own. kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So when Jeep goes, Bob, can you play with this mom? And I said, well, when is it my turn? When does it become dad's turn to play with mom? Now, I put this out there because two things. I think that as a guy, we should not feel ashamed of that. Because I think that the perception of going, hey, I would also like attention from my wife.
Yeah.
Is like you're some kind of like wussy pansy or whatever.
Okay, but you're not talking about attention. You're talking about sex.
No, I'm talking about attention. I'm talking about literally. I've been asking my wife for 2 months straight, going, "Would you like to sit and watch football with me?"
Oh, I thought it was gonna be anal.
No. and then I'd be like, "And that's not sex."
All right.
That's cuddling.
Right. Sit and watch TV with you?
Sit and watch football. We watch shows all the time, but like shows is when the kids go to bed. That's when we watch the shows that we like to watch.
Well, when you're watching those shows, she can enjoy it. You want her to sit there and watch something she's not enjoying.
I'm glad you brought this up. You fucking Benedict Arnold of genitals.
That's Genedict.
Genedict Arnold. That's good stuff. Here's the thing. How much do you do that Luna loves, but you fucking hate?
Okay, well, with regards to TV, I don't do that at all.
Really?
I
draw the line.
I have
TV.
Fun. No, I mean, I'm like, I can't sit through Superstore. I can't sit through
what the fuck is that?
New Girl.
Oh, you don't like New Girl? You don't think Zooey Deschanel is adorkable?
No, I don't like any of that.
He really came alive on this,
yeah,
guys.
It was like she was in the room.
No, you just, it's funny when you, I like it, when you light up with to almost a bully level about these kinds of things.
Right.
Like when I said television, you stop mid-sip of your diet. Nope, that's right. And then you said New Girl, and like, you just, it's funny how what you get very passionate about.
She watches telenovela. She watches Jane the Virgin.
Telenovela? Oh, that's the new show.
The Americanized parody of telenovelas.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care for any of that.
No, you don't? No. Listen, we don't have time to talk about what you don't care about in any form of medium. But
I don't want to drive down to Disneyland anymore, and I do that. And there are plenty of things
that's
that actually fit
what I'm saying. It's just like...
I was just shitting on your point.
It's
Go
just...
On.
No, that's good. It should. It's just like... It's funny because she's the last person to say something in the chat room, so... buckle up for this joke. It's like that bitch Leticia.
Oh, no.
No, when I was talking about the grocery bags and she goes, you're not going to the car. You know what I mean? It's that thing where we have this society where, and I'm not a complete misogynist. I'm not going to say that I'm not completely not either.
Right.
But I'm just saying, how could you be a misogynist when I do so much shit for my wife and help clean up and all that stuff? And I guess what I'm trying to say is I wish that there was a little bit of quid pro quo, Clarice.
Yes.
That's a Latin phrase I learned from the movies.
Yes.
Because it's like, I can't watch football. Like, yeah, but I fucking do a lot of shit that I think I can't do. That's
right.
Called fucking life. It's called
sacrifice.
And it's no coincidence that my love language is acts of service, and yet there seems to be a lot of lack of acts of service in my life.
Lacks of service.
Lacks of service is what I currently am experiencing as a love language. So anyway, I don't know how I got onto this whole... Oh, finally, the Super Bowl. That's why I was gonna say. Finally, the Super Bowl. She sits to watch the Super Bowl, and then it's like this big to do. She goes, "Look, I watched an entire football game." I'm like, "Okay, listen, bitch.
Oh no,
we were at my boss's brother's like palatial estate in Calabasas,
right?
Dining on nice catered food, and there was a lot of like talk about the potbelly pig that they have as a pet.
Oh, wow,
you know what I mean? There's a lot of that. So I mean, that's not." You cuddled up next to me and watching a football game.
Saying. Basically, it doesn't count.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
Exactly. Or it's like, it's so funny how in so many examples of my relationship that I'm the wife, where it's like, she does this one. This seems like a very 80s sitcom dad kind of thing. You do the dishes once and you make a big production out of it.
It would be like if she wanted to go out to dinner with you and you picked Hooters.
Yes.
She'd be like, this is not really going out to dinner.
Exactly.
With me. Yes.
Exactly.
I understand.
Anyway, let's go back to and finish Casey's message, if I possibly can. I get so easily distracted. But I guess that...
Yes?
Squirrel. Which is funny, because that's a drop that I play for my boss at the station. Anyway, I do sit there on the weekends, and I kind of wonder when will be my time. And when I say my time to play with mom is that she just gets to hang out. Because I honestly, I don't think she does enough of that. I get that, you know, you have to spend attention to the kids. But why is it that why is that paying attention to your husband, right?
Yeah.
Why is that a chore? Is it for the same reason that...
Are we talking about husbands in general? Or are we specifically talking about me? You?
Excellent point.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
For the sake of...
But hang on a second. I mean, look, she's away.
Uh-huh.
She's, you know, she feels connected to you. She gets a lot of you. But she doesn't get as much of the kids. And, like, weekdays almost don't count because they come home, there's homework, and then she gets home, and they're pretty much eating dinner and going to bed.
You said that like you were my wife's gay friend that she confides in. You said that like you could...
I practically am.
You could peer into my wife's brain and be able to go, like, that's what that sounded like to me. Like,
yes.
you're the buddy in the rom-com, and I'm going to you, and you're like, well, and you're trying to be subtle about it, but you're basically saying, and here's why that makes me laugh, because...
Yes, Tyler Sabine would play me in the...
Exactly. The incomparable Tyler Sabine. I don't know who the fuck that is. Here's what I could tell you.
Yes.
That you are flat wrong. And I think you are flat wrong when it comes to everybody altogether, in that I think that it's a natural thing for the mom to lean more towards the children, because they are beings that need help in order to achieve sustainability. Like, they need attention in order to live, whereas the expectation is that you are an adult male.
Yeah.
And you... should be able to be independent of that.
Yeah, you're still looking at the world from only from Justin as the center of the universe.
What else matters, though?
Other than you and your feelings?
Yes.
Okay, well then,
because
you've got me there.
Well, here's maybe why I come across this is, hold on, somebody said something really great, and I want to see what it says. My wife puts kids / husband attention in the same bucket. When she runs out, she's out for everyone. That's funny. Here's why. It's because I don't think that I'm needy. I think I'm here describing things that I need because I look at my life and go, what is kind of frustrating? What is interesting to me that is frustrating? And I talk about it here on the show.
No, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Here's the thing. I spend just as much time, if not more, taking care of those children. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And maybe I'm also coming from it, which is a thing that I want to talk about a little bit later on in this episode, if I don't get too long-winded about this, is that the idea of undermining. I had a little situation where my wife kind of started to undermine me, and then I don't like it, but then I have to turn on and I go full-blown dick mode. Marshawn Lynch has beast mode. I have full-blown dick mode. And please stop saying full-blown dick mode. No, I do. I peg out because I'm like, no, you're not. You and she's. It,
can you briefly describe her undermining you?
So, emphasis on briefly. Jack was having a fit and wanted to get in the shower.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said, get in the shower. Mm-hmm. And he decided to throw a fit. And so I yelled at him.
Uh-huh.
And I said, listen. If this is how you're going to act, if you're going to act like a baby and sit here and pout, I will treat you accordingly.
Oh, my God. I just heard a woman say that at the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably me in a high-pitched voice. I say that a lot. And Jack is going through this. He has these moments where it's like, let's see how far I can. Now, I'm sure Dr. Tina Payne Bryson, who is an expert and amazing, and I love her, would listen to me go, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
But it's what I was thinking and feeling in the moment where I'm just like, I'm not going to play these games. You could.
Right.
You can play them. My job as your father is to be an immovable object so that I will set a boundary.
Right.
And to me, it's a behavioral leash, and I will keep you on it, and I will move, and I'm flawed. I will make mistakes, and when I do that, I will apologize.
Okay.
But until then, no. So she's saying he's tired.
Right.
I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. Okay, breathe.
Oh, my God.
Not brief. You work all day. I'm here every fucking day. I was here before you even. Yeah. She's been homesick for like 2 days, and then she had 2 weeks off beforehand. All of a sudden, she's like fucking Mrs. Cleaver, and it's like, no, he's tired. I know the behavior. And I know that's not who she's trying to be. That's not what she's trying to say.
Right.
But I just can't hang. I can't. You can't talk to me like I'm an idiot and don't understand my kid's emotional state and why. Yes.
Okay. So you understand your kid's emotional state and why, but that has no effect on your approach. She's saying he's tired because she's thinking you should behave differently.
Right.
In accordance with his tiredness.
Right. And my point is, no, I should not. I guess my point is to better explain it is I am adjusting towards his state.
Oh my God.
I am emphasizing the fact that I don't care if you are tired.
Yes.
Okay? There is an expectation and it is called taking a fucking shower because I've also seen you fully rested and not tired and giving me slightly less resistance on taking a shower.
Right.
So what I'm trying to emphasize to you is you could what's the thing we found? Look at you all loud and wrong. Like you could get all fucking big and loud and cry and throw shit around and do that crazy like possessed voice that you do and think that that's going to, I'm going to get so irritated that I'm going to go, fuck the shower because that's what mom does. Mom does, oh, you're tired. Oh, it's been a hard day for you.
Uh-huh.
Were things difficult? It's okay because they were hard for mom too. So we don't have to take a shower today. Well, that's not how dad fucking rolls. I rock and roll with like, guess what? 4:30, time to take a fucking shower. Get your naked ass in there, get it wet, get it soaped, get it rinsed, get it dry, get the fuck out, get some pajamas on, because I'm making dinner. Because here's how things work in the real world, you little asshole. I don't just get to get up one morning and go, I'm tired, I don't want to work, I don't want to put money in a checking account so I can feed my kids, I don't want to do any of that shit. That's not how it works. Eventually, you have to figure that out. Is that brief? Did I make it brief?
All right, I'm going to take the shower. yes, I understand.
Do you or no?
Well, I think so, but go on. Now I don't know where you were. That was one of the reasons I was asking for brief.
Where I was?
Not to take us so far off the track you
were on. No, you can take me anywhere you want.
No. I'm saying now you can go back because I have no idea what we were talking about.
So that's what it was is that she kind of undermined me.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with a little bit of agitation. And then that what that does for me is that heightens the fact that it's like, again, I know you are sick. Like she's sick right now again. Now she's got like some kind of flu shit.
Uh-huh.
Before there was problems with her hoo-hoo. And I get that.
Right.
And the way that I'm wired is that I will pick up the slack. I will always pick up the slack.
Yeah.
The problem with me, and I don't really, maybe it's like what you pointed out to me. It's like I was under, how did you say it? I was under the assumption that you did not want to be an asshole anymore when you kept calling yourself asshole.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not interested in changing. changing is hard. No, it's that, but I'm going to notice. And the same thing holds true, that whenever she's doing stuff and like and just nailing shit for me, I really lay it on thick. I go, I love you, and I really appreciate the hell out of you. But when you're the guy who gets up at 2:30 in the morning, and I fucking sound like a broken record, I'm sure, with this stuff, but I work 8 hours just like her.
Yeah.
I do the exact same thing. Difference is, when I come home, my day still has to go another 6+ hours of doing the same shit that she comes home and does for an hour to 2 hours.
Yes.
So I get that that's just the difference in our schedules. I'm not immune to that. But the fact is that I would like a little bit of the consideration, I guess, to say, hey, I know you're dealing with this, so this is what I do. Because what happens is she gets busy, she gets tired, remember? Because that's why she says Jack should just, I need to go easy on him because he's tired. He woke up early. Well, guess what? I got you a fucking alarm clock that tells you what color. It literally says it's okay to get up because the light's green. If you get up on, that's on you.
Right.
At what point?
If we're going to have a conversation about people who are getting up early,
yes,
I think we should start with you.
Right. Like, that's my point. And my Jacob started getting it and at the same time not getting it. Because I used to do the same thing to my dad, but I never vocalized it for fear I would be struck.
Yes.
But my dad did a lot of this same kind of stuff with me when I was young, where he's like, this is what I do. This is my life. So what are you bitching about your life? Because your life is easy kind of a thing. And I used to be like, well, you're in my head. I go, you're a fucking adult. Like, I'm a kid. But now, very thankful. Because at what point do you stop that? Now, I'm not so ignorant that I'm honestly, I mean, yes, I am ignorant. My 7-year-old has a job, and then the 4-year-old helps out, and they get money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I make little mini courses of life. But at some point, that an expectation has to be met that you need to understand that your emotional state does not get to dictate the world around you. Because nobody else gives a fuck. Just like me right here. I'm sitting here ranting and screaming. And you're like, well, you think that you're the only one that matters, right?
Yeah, well.
But nobody really fucking cares what I think or what matters to me.
Yes.
So I'm just doing that to them. I'm saying nobody else here. You, no, not really. Borderline. You know what I mean? I don't care that you're tired. I know I'm ranting and raving and babbling a lot, but I don't. I honestly, here's the truth. I care, and I want nothing more than to sit and hug my kid and go, I'm sorry you're having a rough go, but that's not the job of being a dad to me. That's not what a dad does to me.
Okay.
Me personally, a dad goes, suck it up, rub some fucking dirt on it, and get back in the game.
Okay, now hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I admire your grit. No, what I want to say is that
somebody fucking should.
At the end of the day, you want him to take the shower. No pun intended.
Yes.
So you can want him to take the shower and say, nut up, you little fucker, and get in there.
Yes.
Take your shower. Or you can be the guy who says, I understand you don't want to. I know you're tired. None of that matters. You got to take a shower. It doesn't have to be you or him. Two men enter, one man leaves. It doesn't have to be a death match. And you could still
alive.
No, but you can still get what you want and not necessarily use a hammer to get it.
I get that, because I get that, and I think that's what Natalie
says. When she's going, oh, he's tired, she doesn't want to hear you either. The kid doesn't want to hear you.
Then get off your fucking ass and bathe the kid. Well, don't sit there on the couch and, you know what I mean? Like, step in the game. Get your ass in the game. If you don't like the way I'm doing it,
there is that.
Don't fucking backseat parent my ass.
Get in there
and fucking make it happen. And do it. Do it better.
Yeah.
Do it with your fucking rubber mallet instead of the fucking framing hammer that I'm crushing nails. Because here's what happens to me, to use your hammer analogy. You got a framing hammer, okay? That's probably, I don't know, I'm guesstimating a 5-pound hammer that you got an extra long handle on for leverage.
Yeah,
okay?
I have one.
And you're slamming it, and you want to get to the point. If you're a framer, you want to get to the point where you hit that nail once and it goes all the way in. Because the faster you get it done, it's about banging shit out.
Yeah.
If you try to frame a house with a rubber mallet, it just takes for fucking ever, and you're going to tear up your hammer. Because if I sit there.
And how long will that house last?
Not very long.
Not very long at all.
It'll crumble and fall apart.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why you need me. You need me to be in there and go, quit your fucking bitching.
We need
quit
you on
fucking
that
crying.
Wall.
Yes.
We want you on that wall.
You want me there. You can't handle the truth.
I want the truth. All right.
No, I think. And here's the funny part about it is that she does this thing where she goes, I just think he's tired. And she says, you know, you could do this without yelling. Yes, could I? Like, to use your analogy.
Yeah.
Could I be soft? Sure, I could. Absolutely. I could fucking not care. I could sit down and go,
I'm not talking
let's not take a bath.
I'm not talking about being soft. When I suggested that you could accomplish the same goal without using the hammer.
You're saying use a saw or any other tool.
I was just saying that. I'm not saying give up on your goal and let him win. I'm saying how do you get it to happen? It's how you get it to happen that might be the issue.
It eventually gets there. So, and that's the thing that always, to me, here's the thing, and I steal this from my father, is that it's not about how you're doing it, in my opinion. It is about how consistent you are when you are doing it. So if he knows that if he decides to resist me on not just taking a shower, but things that you are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now, for instance, I've told them multiple times that when they get up in the morning, I want their beds made. Am I in there screaming in his face about his bed being made? No, because he's 4 fucking years old.
Okay.
And when he does make his bed and he remembers, I go, dude, you are the fucking man. You're nailing it, right?
Okay.
So it's not like everything is black or white with me, but there are things that I see as red flags. And when you start pushing me back on taking a fucking bath because that's something you have to do, and it's not – how much could he not want to take a bath? Let's be honest. Like, how uncomfortable is it to sit in lukewarm water and rub yourself? How torturous is that? The child has an easier time going to a dentist where people scrape his teeth with metal objects than he does
10 minutes
bathing.
Late?
Because you were at the dentist?
No, because I was in a warm tub rubbing myself.
See, exactly.
Yeah.
So what's the what are we, that? So to me, and I'm sure there are plenty of experts who would disagree.
Uh-huh.
To me, it is not about the shower.
Right.
It is about his brain and that dumb child brain of his telling him, I'm going to fight dad right now.
And I think that the experts would agree with you that in analyzing that it's not about the shower. I don't know that they'd agree with you that.
Nothing I did would ever be.
Don't pull them in to only defend half of the situation.
No, I'm not defending any of it.
Well, if you're saying the experts would agree with why he's saying it, then now you let the experts in the room, which I don't advise you do because it won't hold up.
Oh, I'm sure I can find an expert or two
who absolutely agrees with me.
But I don't know. We started with her message, and now I'm in this rabbit hole with this stuff. Here's the thing.
Did you ever finish that?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll get back to it. We'll wrap it up.
No, that'd be awesome if it took a full hour to read that.
That's
one.
That's what
email.
I do, evidently.
Yeah.
This whole little kind of quasi-rant conversation that we've been having for the past 30 minutes is that this is kind of my state of mind constantly lately, and it's very frustrating, and it's very down. Now, how does this all tie in with a lot less weight, because it got very heavy because I brought my own personal experience with my wife outside of the bedroom?
Yeah.
But how does this tie in is that, and it's a thing that I think has been repeated a lot from me and other people on this show, is that you take this small little thing of like, listen, I love my husband and sex.
Right. No, they got to be in the other order.
But it's like, when can you get this done? Now, not that sex is what defines your love from your husband, but it's like, I think this is just a microcosm of an example. And this is, I'm sorry, Casey, I don't mean to make this seem like you're a reflection of what is wrong or what is hard with marriage. That's not it. Right. I think we all can agree
that her marriage is in trouble.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Now I get it.
Thank you, Paco.
Okay.
Let's do some suburban. No. No, I think that what it is that this is a small, very light representation of what can lead to bigger issues for all of us. It's not issues. I guess the better way is just struggles that we all have within our family life. You have this fight between the kids demanding on you. And let's be honest, I believe in this situation, it is the most difficult for the women, because part of the being the mom in that kind of microcosm of family is that you have to be the one who is caregiver to all on some level. Whether I don't care how feminist you are, and you could have a full-time job and pretend to be a man all you want. No, I'm kidding. No, you can have a full-time job. And then what sucks about it is there are tons of moms listening, or guys listening to their wives do this, where you got to fucking, my mom did this. You had a full-time job, then you come home, you still clean, you still did all the cooking, because we live in a world of dual income households, which is going to lead to the next thing I want to talk about.
Where do I find one of those women, by the way? You don't have one and I don't have one.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have one because you are Mrs. Cleaver, right?
Like, I've been thinking about my mangina as you're talking, and with almost every sentence you say, yours starts shrinking and mine starts getting bigger because I'm completely wired.
Oh, I'm sure I'll fix that. It'll go back to yin and yang in the wash. This is just because I'm extra frustrated and I'm saying, it's connected to the fact that I've got a full-time job. That's
situation. But here's the thing, or one of the many things.
Let me stop you real quick.
Like, sure, I'm sorry. I've been hogging it.
No, please don't forget your thought, because I think it's a good point, is that for all the bitching and moaning that I'm doing, I think you take a guy 30, 40 years ago, like maybe not our dads, or your dad or our dad's dads.
Right.
They do this shit and they don't even get upset about it, because that's what it is to be a guy. Other than the cleaning part of it, like you just pick up the slack and get shit done around everywhere without it really kind of giving you gray hair, is the point I wanted to make. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that, excuse me. Sorry about that. I sort of don't feel like it's realistic for the two of you, you and your wife.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm really choked up. you have lived your lives in this way where she was the 9-to-5-er. She was 40 plus hours a week, and you were here and then doing your career.
Whose side he's on, says Justin's inner monologue.
No.
I know.
And so, you know, the price you paid to follow your bliss, your dream, whatever it was, to work towards that thing you wanted, was to hold down the fort and do this. You're wired to kind of do that kind of thing anyway, but that was the thing. And that as you guys have shifted into this thing, first it was a part-time job, a gateway scenario.
the marijuana of taxes, yeah, as I call it.
And and now you you've fully gone over to 40 hours a week yourself now?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me that then other stuff wasn't redistributed. That it's still all on you.
It was. That's where the frustration comes, is that it was redistributed. There was kind of a thing that,
yeah,
and we've had this conversation multiple times, especially
you
since getting the house. No, my wife,
okay,
and I, where
thought
I say,
I was in trouble for not listening again.
Well, you are, but for different reasons. No, that we've had this conversation where I kind of say, I'm like, listen, I can't do this all. And if you ask her, if she was to sit here right here and talk about this, yeah, she would have tons of things like, I do all that. I do all of that.
Right.
But here's the, and I know that we're all getting this through my lens and my perspective.
Sure.
And I would be willing.
I'm not taking any of that's yeah, truth.
What I'm willing to admit that my lens might be slightly, but I would not be willing to sit here and say that mine is completely pointed towards myself. You know, like we talk about the sitcom where you,
yeah,
two sides of the same story and then,
right,
you always sound like the same. I'm not painting myself out to be the good person in this, but the thing about it is that my wife wants to get it and see what goes on around her and wants to not feel like she's not doing enough.
Yeah.
But it's not in her natural programming. It, in a lot of ways, it is harder for her to do what I'm asking of her than it is for me to do what I am already doing. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think, I mean, maybe a little bit that you're burning out. Just the
No, yeah, okay, go ahead.
The dynamic, I don't know. it's you say you've shifted it, but it doesn't. It's I don't think it all works that easily. That, like you say, she can't necessarily take on 50% of what you used to do or what you have historically done,
yeah,
even though technically that's what she should be doing somehow. I mean, she's taken on the playing the video games part of it.
Yes,
I,
yes, she's definitely
she stepped
no,
up for that.
No, here's what it is.
Yeah.
I want to first say my wife is great and that she's not a slacker in any way, shape, or form. But
wait, I'm going to interrupt you and say that none of my comments and questions have anything to do with putting value or judgment
her
on her or you or
maybe
the,
that's
or
my
the situation.
Maybe that's what it is. No.
So don't feel like you have to defend yourself to me. I'm just you're in a complicated dynamic, and I – you know,
well, to me, complicated means unusual. I think that what, yeah, I'm describing and feeling is the norm in a lot of ways. I think that we have peaks and valleys in life, right?
Yes.
Overall, if you were to take a look back of the peaks and valleys of my life, I am in a very solid upswing.
Yes.
Things are going very well for me within my career, within my personal,
sure,
life. But you have these miniature within the little, if you zoom in real close on the week,
yeah,
I'm in a little bit of a valley while climbing that hill, if,
yeah,
that makes sense,
yes,
because I'm a little frustrated. And I think that it doesn't matter what your gender is within your relationship. Somebody feels this at some point and it changes spots back and forth. Right.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, there is I guess the more universal thing we would see in television or film is when mom gets sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the,
yeah,
whole house falls apart because dad doesn't know how to do things and there's fire starting. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? The situation for me is that, sure, is there a split? Does my wife do the cleaning? Does my wife do the laundry? And does my wife make all the meals on the weekend? Absolutely. But if for whatever reason in her limited time that doesn't work out, then it falls on my shoulders. Now, here's where I think there is reverse kind of sexism is that – when I start picking up the slack in the laundry, at no point does she go, hey, let me balance the checkbook. Or does the oil need to get changed in the Camry?
Yeah.
Let me go. No, I got it. I'll get the rollers out. I'll put it up,
right,
on the jacks. And
well, she's too busy playing with the boys.
Exactly. My point exactly is that when all of that stuff happens,
yeah,
all I'm saying is I'm putting it out there not that to say that anybody's on the verge of divorce, nor am I.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if you're listening to me and go, I think I could think how my partner would feel this way and what's going on. Maybe it helps you to kind of go, oh, shit, and do something to give them a hug, give them fucking plan a date night, do something to kind of go, let's reconnect with each other.
Yeah.
Because I think And I firmly believe that is that connection with each other that is what's going to overall dictate the happiness level of your family. And to get back to Casey's bullshit email. No, I'm kidding. No, to get back to, and this is how it connects, this small thing where it's like something is wonderful and fast that she's describing it. She's having a very honest moment. It's like, listen, and it's very real for all of us. I love my wife to shit. I love her like crazy.
Yeah.
But the idea of me staying up until 10 o'clock at night so I could sit and watch a show and have a conversation with her, only to have to get up 4 hours later and go work all day, is not enough. And so watching Big Bang Theory with my wife is the same on her perspective of finding time to have sex or to, you know, talk with her husband about something that he cares about.
Yeah.
Because especially I think when you are the stay-at-home parent, that you, so much of you is sucked off. When we have kids,
this whole Justin. Thing, Big Bang, yes, and sex, and now sucked off.
Well,
and
somebody needs to get laid then. I'm making analogies. No,
talking
I think
in code.
I think that really what happens when you have kids, we've all been through this, and we're all still going through it, and it never fucking ends. I don't even think it ends when the kids move out. You still get the fucking phone call, and then you got to fight because somebody's going to go, no, he needs the money, he needs help. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that you so much of your life is about giving and giving and giving, and that very few opportunities are provided for you to return, you know, to get back. And I bring all this up on the eve of the greatest holiday invented for the vagina that ever existed.
Yes.
As Adam Carolla has so expertly put, in my opinion, there is Valentine's Day, if you are a guy, is a lose-lose. There is no winning on Valentine's Day, because if you do what you're supposed to, that's expectation.
Yes.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. But if you screw it up, you're a colossal asshole.
Right.
But very rarely, because even if you nail it, like if you do it, well, it's Valentine's Day. That's what you're supposed to do, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was all of my bullshit. I want to talk about, before we have to wrap this up, because I think it's relevant, is I want to do some suburban rage on something I'm about to do in about a half hour.
That PTA bitch giving you the stink eye. The drive-thru just screwed up your order. And your neighbor's Yorkie Terrier doesn't stop fucking barking. That's right. You don't have real problems. It sounds like you have suburban rage.
This is a poor job on my part of hosting this, but I want to button up Casey's email here that she sent in where she said, I'm in such high demand. I barely have time for myself. I'm surprised to take care of your pleasure needs. I haven't even eaten yet today, and it's like 8 p.m. I'm exhausted, and I feel super gross, so sex is the last thing on my mind. So just a heads up on that's how your wife might be feeling about your – be aware, because us as guys, we don't
care. And on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe not force the issue. So here's the thing, and I think it kind of ties into everything we've been talking about so far, is that I have to go chaperone – a Valentine's party for my first grader.
Yeah.
Now, there is goldfish, paper plates, napkins, cheese and crackers, fruit, vegetables and dip, and cupcakes and juice boxes being provided by parents.
Yeah.
How many volunteers do you think I have coming to help all of that happen? In a class of, I think, 27 kids.
Including you?
Including me. Total volunteers on hand. All hands on deck.
I'm tempted to say two, but I think the answer might be one.
It's five.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Now, here's my point.
It's going the wrong way.
No, it's fine. I get it, because here's my point. Five people are coming in the middle of the day to watch kids eat fucking cheese and crackers and exchange pieces of paper that you can no longer personalize for fear that a loser, awkward asshole finds out that they are such.
They don't have to write the names on them anymore?
You write. So if I was to give Valentine's Day to you in my classroom, Paco, I would write Justin, from Justin, two field blank. I don't even know why they put a two field on it.
The school doesn't make them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and they send home notes to say you can't personalize them. Which we never really did. It was just kind of generic by choice. But I had a couple girls. Right. I'd be like, hey, what's up? Ba-boom, you know? So I just think it's interesting and not a real problem. These are classic rich white
you
guy problems.
He could solve a lot of problems. Just write sugar tits on it.
Sugar tits to everybody.
Sugar tits, yeah.
Guys think it's funny. Girls are like, oh, meow. Because that's what a lady likes to be talked about. This idea of the volunteering. And I have very mixed feelings about this because I love my children. And as much as I complain about them and the life that it entails having them,
yeah,
I do like it. I do love the lifestyle. Okay. And I want to be there. But at the same time, I'm like, why am I here? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is this what's like? I feel like I'm stuck somewhere between like an old school mentality. Like if I told my father, you and four of your friends are going to have to come and distribute cupcakes to a class, my father would laugh at you and go, what the fuck is the teacher doing?
I mean, it'd be one thing if this was a field trip and you just wanted to have lots of eyes and lots of hands.
Yes.
But they're all in the room.
They're all
the time.
Sitting
what
there.
What do they think is going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to be like a wilding?
And it's not just the Valentine's party. But even my father would even say, field trip. Like, why the fuck do I have to be there for a field trip? I don't understand. Are you leaving the state? That's what he would say to you. And it's just a different time now. It's a very, very different time that we all live in and are experiencing. And I don't know that it's good. And I don't know that it's bad.
Right.
What I do know is that I pretty much, we all like to think and look back, harken back to the 50s, right? We all look back and go, oh, look at that time when, you know, everybody likes to make fun of those. To be a good housewife, make sure, keep the children quiet and freshen them up before the man comes home. He's had a very stressful day, you know?
Yes.
And we look back at those times, and I know that, you know, if you're a guy, honestly, as much as I joke, I don't think I would like that. I don't think I would like that life of, you know, her being subservient or, you know, or feeling like she has to take care of. Everybody likes to be pampered. I get that. I'm a guy who just railed for 40 minutes about how I don't think my wife pays enough attention to me.
Yeah, she won't play with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
another proud moment.
Exactly. And I think that I think that we can, both sides of the gender fence can do a little bit more consideration for the other person. And I think that's what I don't like about it. Not that's what guys were then. I didn't live then. But
yes.
I don't like the idea of being completely oblivious to the fact that having kids is hard. But I also don't like the fact of being completely oblivious to the fact that working and dealing with the stress of paying the mortgage is hard, is easier than raising kids. I don't believe that for a minute, right?
Yeah.
So now we live in a time where dual incomes are almost a necessity for most families, right?
Yes.
They're definitely more common than not.
Yeah.
And yet we have increased the expectation of participation during the day at the school.
Right, right.
That we have to go and we have to volunteer. And I'm saying all this, like, let me also be clear. I like my kids' teacher. I think she's a great teacher. I think she's on it. She does a good job. And it's not like she's going, I need the help. I'm sure she appreciates the help. But I think it has more to do with the fact that it's like, oh, no, this is just what you do now. This is just how it works.
Well, are you volunteering? Or are you getting forced into it?
Here's the thing. I am the room rep. So my job, this is another interesting thing. In a time of distribution lists being something that could be copied and pasted with three keystrokes.
Yeah.
I am the person that the teacher, I don't even think my kid's teacher likes this plan, but she's like, again, this is what we do.
Yeah.
She sends me an email to send to all the parents, and then I forward it, right? So, infrastructurally.
Well, she has to have a plausible deniability.
Exactly, on some level, maybe. Maybe that's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a consigliere to her or something. But, the PTA, as far as like how this whole thing is structured, is the PTA sent out an email to all the room reps and said, here's the day that we're going to have the parties. The teachers have picked times.
Yeah.
We would like to, like, we're going to operate under the assumption that you, the room rep, are going to organize. If you cannot be there and organize the party that day, find somebody who can for us, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's your shift. Now you got to get somebody to cover your shift.
Okay. Well,
kind of a thing.
Okay.
But it's just weird because I imagine that if I was a parent, because there have been things that have happened, because like you said, before I got this job, I was Johnny on the spot. I drove all the kids to the preschool, field trips, everything. And now I have this job. And doesn't it kind of fucking suck if you're the parent who has to work and somehow society has decided that you get to feel like you're not as invested, you know what I mean, or you don't care? Especially if it's both of you. Like in yours and my situation, you were able to be there. Luna was working all the time. I was able to be there. Natalie working all the time. Yes, Paco.
I had my hand raised for quite some time.
20 seconds, asswipe.
Luna very much wanted to be a part of that kind of stuff. I didn't do a lot of it. I did a bit of it, but I never felt like I didn't feel like I was being judged necessarily. How did you become the room rep?
I volunteered.
Okay, so hang on a second. You volunteered because you had the time to do so.
No, I volunteered because the teacher asked me to.
Wait a minute. All right.
And well, no, it's a volunteer position. Yeah. And what I volunteered to do, what I volunteered to do is to be the guy who gets an email and in 30 seconds copies a list and copies the email and sends it out to every other person.
Yeah.
I did not volunteer to be the guy who has to be there or to organize the parents to come and organize the Valentine's party. Because if I was that, if I knew that was a part of it, then people would have to listen to my bullshit about how we can't personalize the Valentine's. What's the point? We have to have store-bought food. Everybody's got a fucking nut allergy or a gluten intolerance. Where does the enjoyment begin? That's what they would have to hear.
Yes. Well, that's the rage we'd been waiting for during this moment of rage. It was the most reasonable moment of rage in history. I thought you'd blown your rage wad back talking about your wife.
No, well, to me, it's not a real problem, but it's something that frustrates me, and that's why I bring it up here,
that's the point.
Why are we doing this?
Yes.
And at the same time, like I'm Jekyll and hiding myself or something. I'm becoming psychotic because I'm at the same time. Well, you do it because you love your kids, you fuck knuckle.
Right.
That's what you do.
And those you said five people, but I guarantee it's you and four other women.
No, two of them already got backed out sick because they got this fucking horrible disease going around that everybody's getting.
But it's all women is what I'm saying. But
one other dad, but
That they want.
Now shit on whose point.
Yeah, no, that's fine. They want to be there.
Do they?
Otherwise,
I don't think they do.
You think they're there because they've been guilted into it?
I think in a classroom of 27 kids, I think there are 2 to 3 parents tops that are like, yeah, I'm here, whatever you need. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And usually, honestly, those people are also the people that have like 8 fucking kids. And so they got other shit to do. So they probably don't even really want to be there because then they got to find somebody to watch their 4 other litters at home. Okay. I don't think anybody wants to be there. Who wants to sit there and watch a bunch of kids eat cupcakes?
Some people do. They want to be part of their children's lives.
I want to be a part of my child's life. I do too, but...
And so does Natalie. So when they say, hey, Mom, can you play? She wants to play with them.
Right.
And you should say, hey, Mommy, can we play?
Yes.
And I think she will.
No. Were you not listening for the first 3/4 of the show?
I
have said multiple times, when do we get to play? Can we play now? Would you like to watch football with me?
Right.
I get laughed at. Anything that... Well, you think she looks forward like it's the exciting part of her day?
Right.
To go fucking play He-Man and Legos?
No, here's the... Hang on a second, dude. Maybe she's looking for her own moment of the week. You think she's out there miserable because she's doing it? She's connecting with her sons.
No, I'm not saying I think she's miserable. I don't think she loathes it. I don't think that she gets up excited to play with the kids. She does it because she's supposed to. She does it because it's the thing you're supposed to do. Here's the thing.
Yes. Again,
it's not black or white. When I sit here and I go off and rant and rave, no ounce of this. If you were to come to me tomorrow and say, Justin, I have a solution to all your problems.
Yes.
We're going to take your wife. We're going to take your kids. Pretty close. The way I talk, right?
Yeah.
We're going to take your wife. We're going to take your kids. We have a robotic version of you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
They will be none the wiser. That robotic version of you will get to go to work and do all of the things that you do.
Yeah.
And then here on out, you will get to do exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would not take that offer.
Okay.
I would not, in a million years, I would never take that offer.
Okay.
But I think it's part of being human that I would exist in this existence that I've created for myself and look at it and still go, what the fuck are we doing?
Okay.
What the fuck is going on?
What if that same team of engineers came to you and said, we're going to take them over there.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're going to replace them with exact replicas physically and in many other ways, except that they'll behave the way you say you want them to all the time.
Ooh.
Would you take that?
No. I would want them to do what I want them to do. I would definitely rather have the real thing.
That's your t-shirt. Yeah.
I want to have the real thing do exactly what I want it to do.
Uh-huh.
And then everything would be right.
I think that is
all. And then this show would have to end.
I think that's all the window we need into your soul.
Can you imagine?
That answer. Yes.
That if my kids and my wife figured out everything it was to not make me happy. You know what I mean? Again, not pampering. I'm not foot massage.
Yeah.
But just nailed it. Just a well-oiled machine. Okay. Did exactly what I would have nothing to fucking talk about.
So, yeah, okay, so one more variation then. And I know it's going to sound like it's stepping on your answer there.
Oh, fuck, I got to go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Which is, now it's not robots and all of that. It's just they all take a little pill, they take a sip of the drink, and now they are in compliance. So it's your real wife and your real kid,
yeah.
But they're doing what you want.
Under a chemical influence.
It has altered them. Alternate.
No, I need them to want. I need them to understand that my way is the right way.
Oh, they will.
Not with a drug.
Will.
No, I want them to feel it through the genetic influence I provided.
You want to feel it
through a couple drunken nights with their mother.
Fear and intimidation. That's where you want them to feel it.
All right. I won't argue that much. Listen, I feel like a dickhead because things went long, but I got to go because I got to go do this fucking party. So
that's hilarious.
Everybody, we'll do more Moment of the Week next week. I apologize if that has jacked up your routine or anything in any way, shape, or form. My voice is already getting tired. Please go check out Hollywood RX. That is Paco's other podcast by which he goes by the name of Adam Dooley on. And you will hear him.
Doctor. Adam Dooley.
I apologize.
That's all right. I didn't go to imaginary medical school so you could forget to call me
like
Doctor.
Like Dr. Phil. Yeah, you could play a doctor in the media. So listen to him talk about whatever movie is going on. What's the latest movie you guys talked about on there?
The Revenant.
Oh.
It's going to post today or tomorrow.
Interesting thing I heard about that when somebody else was talking about little dialogue. Very little dialogue.
Oh, yeah, almost none. That's
interesting to me.
Movie.
Oh, good for them. They're probably going to win an Oscar for that. So check out that Hollywood RX. And it's you could see it because it's one of those little movie thing that when you say ready and action, and they click it in front of the camera.
It's taken off like gangbusters.
That's the logo. And you could probably find it if you search Adam Dooley as well. We're going to be getting Dr. J and Rachel. I know I keep saying this, but it's not happening. I'm working things out. Things are working. I'm trying to make it happen. You know what? Fuck what I just said. Facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow us there. Talk to people there. Join the group Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. I recently joined after the suggestion of one Jessica Archibald. I'm pretty sure that's not how you pronounce her name. But anyway.
Archibald. Archibald.
No, she's not.
No.
Maybe her husband is. I don't know that guy.
I don't know.
Rather not think about it.
I don't know.
Am I right? No, I'm kidding.
Thinking.
Anyway, all of our social media handles are in the description of this episode, but I want to go back to Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast because that's a great way to find other like-minded parents if you want to talk or share humor. Lots of funny pictures I saw up there when I went and perused it. If you want to listen live, we usually record Thursdays at 12 o'clock at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. You could chat with other people that are listening there as well. Today, we obviously did early, so give or take on the schedule. But if you sign up and follow us through the free app, all you got to do is put in your email. Then you'll get a quick little email whenever we go live there. And now Paco is going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
Come on, people. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell you about this. Go to the Dad Podcast website. Scroll to the bottom. There's an Amazon banner. That's the key to the whole situation. When you click on that, it takes you straight through to Amazon. It couldn't be easier. And then it can get even easier.
I don't know what happened over there, but I think it just broke.
When you bookmark the Amazon site. Now, then it's easier because every time you use the bookmark, you go right back there. And the beautiful part of all of this is that when you buy your things that you buy there, it doesn't cost you any more and it helps out the show. And that's the right thing to do.
Well done. On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, and the bitch Jessica Archimabald, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.